Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, joined by WPR sports reporter Megan Hart. She's back with us to talk about the latest developments in Wisconsin sports. There's really a lot to talk about, I think. We'd love to have you join the conversation. What questions do you have about the changing sports? So, Giannis will sign his offer with the Bucks. What about the Packers or the Badgers or the Marquette Warriors? Join in. Give a call at 800-642-3000. Send us an email to ideas at WPR.com. And Megan Hart, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me.
You ever a lacrosse player?
I was not. I was a swimmer growing up, and that didn't allow much time for anything else.
Well, let's start our conversation here with the Packers game. Rodgers had quite a day on Sunday, did he not?
He did. He's really had quite a season so far. Green Bay's offense all year has been so strong. They're leading the league in points scored. He's leading the league in touchdowns, and it was just another example of that. And really of the partnership that he's developed with Davante Adams throughout their careers, but especially this year, they just have been a lot of fun to watch together.
Well, it was fun to hear that, Adams caught that 400th touchdown pass, and he'd also caught the 200th one that Rodgers threw.
Yeah, after the game, he said he had found out on Twitter before the game, a few hours before the game, that Rodgers' third touchdown pass of the day would be the 400th of his career. And he made sure to tell all the other pass catchers, if you happen to catch that ball, make sure you hold on to it, give it to somebody for safekeeping, because Rodgers doesn't have all of his sort of centennial balls, because the 200th, Adams did catch, and it actually happened to be the first touchdown of his career. So Rodgers let Adams keep that ball. But this time, Adams made sure that he gave it to somebody for safekeeping. But it was special considering the run they've had the last few years that he was able to play a role in that milestone. He said it was pretty cool to be a part of. And, of course, afterwards, Aaron Rodgers talked about it after the game, and he said, a lot of it has to do with longevity, but he's also proud of the consistency it takes to throw 400 passes, throw 400 touchdown passes, and he accomplished that in fewer games than any other quarterback to date. So, it's a really good example of the success he's had here in Green Bay.
What's the situation? They're hoping to have fans back in the stadium, but what's the latest on that? Anything different or new?
Well, they had 500 people, about 500 people at the last two games, and those were all fans or family members of employees or employees themselves who were not paying fans for those games. But they were able to sort of test out some of the coronavirus protocols that they put in place. Those 500 people accounted for less than 1% of the capacity at Lambeau Field, and you could see most of it on the TV still looks empty. But they tested out a few things, like how the concession lines would work, whether the signage around the stadium was sufficient to show people where they were supposed to stand or line up or things like that. And also they tested out a new seating policy where they would have families sit in sort of individual pods of up to 6 members per household that were socially distanced from one another. And so they were doing all of that in hopes that it would show them if they needed to make any changes before they actually do welcome paying fans. They've got 2 home games left, so there's a possibility that there could be fans at those games, and those fans would be season ticket holders who, before the season started, did opt in to buy tickets this year. But it would still be a limited number. I think the Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy said at the most it would be 12,000 people, but it would be unlikely to scale up that quickly. And then also they're working with Brown County public health officers and Bellin Health, the hospital system here in Northeast Wisconsin, to make sure that whatever they do it safely.
Yeah. Well, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the passing of Paul Hornung, certainly a Packer legend. Lombardi, I think, said he was the greatest player he ever coached. Talk about Hornung.
I did a story after he passed about his funeral, the service that they had in Louisville, where he's from. And I grew up in Florida, so I haven't always been so familiar with Packers lore. And just reading about his life and his contributions to the Packers and the NFL were really interesting, because so many of the things he achieved are things that are just so hard to imagine in 2020. For example, he won the Heisman Trophy at Notre Dame on a 2-8 team. He's the only player ever to come from a team with a losing record and win the Heisman Trophy. And when he did that, he led the Fighting Irish in almost every statistical category on offense and defense and in kicking. And it's so hard to envision today. He carried that over to the Packers. He was such a versatile player. He, in 1960, set a point scored record that stood almost 50 years, and that was a combination of his touchdowns, his field goals, and his extra points, because he was not only playing fullback, he was also kicking for the Packers. And then there's just so many interesting aspects of his life. In 1961, he was actually on active duty in the Army, and Vince Lombardi had to get special dispensation from his friend John F. Kennedy to have Hornung come play in the NFL championship game, which the Packers won, largely on the back of Hornung. But it's just such a different time. And then, of course, he went on to have an interesting post-football life, trying out acting. He was in Miller Lite commercials, and just an interesting guy. And I think it's been nice for a lot of people to remember him over the last month.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, could you imagine somebody today doing all the things that he did? He's a halfback, but he could catch passes, and then he would kick the extra points. He'd do the kickoffs. He'd do the field goals.
Yeah,
it's absolutely
hard to imagine.
Amazing.
I think today the Hornung Award actually continues to honor the most versatile player in college football. So his legend will live on that way. But it is crazy to think about. And of course, he also missed a season for gambling. He was suspended for 1963. And when that happened, actually, I read the Sports Illustrated article from the time that said they called him the biggest star in professional football. So that was huge news at the time. It didn't show that he ever bet against the Packers or anything like that, but he did miss time. And actually, at his funeral, one of the things that they talked about was that he grew up in Louisville and he loved horse racing. And of course, that's where the Kentucky Derby takes place, but gambling was always part of his life because he really, that was one of his passions, was horse racing.
Yeah, he was, I think he bet on his own team to win, I think, in the betting. So it wasn't like he was betting against his own team. So a colorful, colorful guy. Well, I'll tell you what, Megan Hart's our guest today, and we spent a lot of time here talking about the Packers, which is just fine. We can talk some more about the Packers, but I know we want to talk about the Bucks and the Badgers and the Marquette Warriors and a whole lot more. We are going to take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us. But then we'll be back. You can join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller with Megan Hart. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Wisconsin Public Radio sports reporter Megan Hart with us again today to talk about sports in the state. And we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about the college football and basketball seasons? Should the Big Ten change its rules to let Ohio State play in the conference championship? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I sometimes make mistakes on this program when I talk when I don't think. And I'm called the Marquette basketball team, the Marquette Warriors, and they're really, it's the Golden Eagles, Marquette Golden Eagles. So I apologize for that. But Megan, let's go to the Bucks for a minute. The Bucks are still waiting for Giannis to sign his Supermax offer. What do you think? What's the holdup, everybody's saying?
Yeah, you know, it's that certainly is sort of the big question this offseason for the Bucks is if he's going to sign that contract extension. Of course, he has the leverage, and if he signs it this year, he's got to sign it by December 22nd, but he's with the team next year. It seems unlikely that they would trade him to regardless of whether or not they think that they're going to be able to re-sign him next season, next off season. So, it's all summer, there's been a lot of speculation over whether it's going to happen. People have had sort of scoops one way or another. Zora Stevenson, who covers the Bucks for Fox Sports Wisconsin, actually tweeted the other day, it was Giannis's birthday, and his teammates Pat Connaughton and Chris Middleton apparently got him a pen so that he could sign his contract extension, and it just seems to be what we're all waiting for. Of course, the Bucks did make some other moves this offseason, but sort of the success of the offseason, you know, if Giannis were to re-sign it, goes from whatever it is now to an automatic A+.
Well, I heard that every one of the players on the team gave him a pen. And they all sang happy birthday to him on his birthday last week, too. And, you know, the roster changed a bit during the off season.
It did. I think, you know, there are a few players that that Bucks fans will miss next year that are leaving. One, I think, is Wesley Matthews, who played at Marquette and has spent a lot of his life here in Wisconsin, and he signed a contract with the Lakers. So I think that's kind of exciting for him because he signed, you know, he came to the Bucks at a stage in his career where he kind of needed to prove himself, and he was able to play really well last season, especially on defense, and now signed with the reigning champions. The other two that I think people are particularly going to notice are gone are George Hill, who, in addition to his game, was such a vocal leader on the team and offered so much experience and leadership, especially last year as the team was sort of dealing with the social justice issues that we were facing in addition to finishing out the season during coronavirus. And then, of course, Eric Bledsoe, and Hill and Bledsoe were both part of a trade that brought in Drew Holiday, who is the biggest addition for the Bucks this offseason.
Yeah. And I think people are hoping, well, that's enough to get Giannis to sign.
Yeah, I think, you know, I imagine every decision that front office makes, kind of they have to consider, you know, what Giannis will think about it. And Holiday has, he's really strong on defense, which has been a hallmark of this Bucks team in recent years. But he's probably more of an offensive weapon than Bledsoe, who he'll be replacing at point guard. He's played well in the playoffs, which is another area where Bledsoe has been challenged in recent years. And so, yeah, I imagine that you know, every time they did anything this offseason, their first thought is, "I wonder, you know, how will this affect Giannis and our chances of re-signing him?"
Kind of been a bad week. This last week has been kind of a bad week if you're a Wisconsin Badger fan, all the way around. I'm thinking football, basketball, hockey, lots of problems there. I don't know if, did you watch the Indiana Badgers Indiana game this weekend? Scratching my head on that particular game.
Yeah, that was a tough loss for Wisconsin. I imagine that, of course, we'll probably be able to look back at in hindsight and kind of understand more what this whole season has looked like. But the players are really facing challenges that they've never had to deal with before. And I imagine coming into the season with a high of that win against Illinois when Graham Mertz had such a good game at quarterback and they just looked so strong, and then to have to put football activities on pause due to their own coronavirus outbreak, and then to miss another game due to another team's current. It's just so many ups and downs. It's got to be hard to stay focused. And, you know, I think that maybe that kind of played a role in their performance. They struggled with turnovers a lot against Northwestern, which is the other game that they lost, but they had two turnovers Saturday and a lot of penalties. And you have to think maybe it just has to do with they're just not very sharp since they haven't been able to play a lot. And since things keep stopping and starting, it's a challenge a lot, you know, most teams haven't dealt with before.
Yeah, and this weekend they play for the Heartland Trophy. They play Iowa, and this will be the first, if they were to lose that game, it'd be the first time in a few years now, I'm trying to think back, where they actually would have a losing record during a season. I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, I think you really, of course, have to take it with a grain of salt since there's so few games played. But I think that because Wisconsin has had so much success in the last few years, that you have to also think about with the short season this year due to the pandemic and the canceled games, every game is so high stakes. And after that loss to Northwestern, you have to think that maybe the players, it counts for more than it would in a normal year. And they're used to playing high stakes games. And when everything means maybe is a little less significant because your chances are already limited, that might have sort of a psychological impact. But it's certainly been a very strange football season.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, Jill Nadeau is a Golden Eagle. She went to Marquette University, and, of course, I went to Wisconsin. So we always have a little friendly rivalry, and she asked me about the basketball game that was coming up at the time. And I said, well, I don't think Marquette's got much of a chance this time because here's Wisconsin with all its seniors, and Marquette had just lost a game and a bunch of freshmen. But I overlook the fact that Wisconsin-Marquette, whenever they play, you just throw the records out the window, you throw everything out the window because it's really a battle. And this was a good game. It was a fun game to watch anyway.
It really was fun to watch. It was, you know, I feel like there have been some, across sports, there have been moments where it feels weird during the pandemic when there's no fans, and especially college games when there's no students. And sometimes that can be a distraction, but I really feel like watching this game, you were in it the whole time because there were 11 ties, 13 lead changes, and it came down, of course, to the very last second. So it was quite an entertaining game.
Yeah, Wisconsin had that game with 1 second to go.
Yeah, I think that as a Wisconsin fan, you can at least feel heartened that you know, they do have so many seniors coming back, and they should respond well to a loss like that. Sometimes will maybe be a wake-up call. But, yeah, that was just a real thriller.
The good thing about basketball, the coaches always say, is that you don't have time to dwell too much because you got your next game in 3 or 4 days, and that's the case again this time. Although they were supposed to play Louisville, and that game got canceled, so I think now they have Rhode Island on the schedule, Wisconsin.
That has been, one of the most interesting things, I think, when I've been able to get on press conferences with Greg Gard at Wisconsin, to hear him talk about the scheduling challenges during the pandemic has been really interesting. Before the season, he said that they were in touch with teams that were within driving distance to be able to fill a hole in the schedule last minute if an opponent has to cancel. And then yesterday during his news conference, he said, you know, they knew it was kind of a matter of when, not if, they were going to have to shuffle things last minute. And it happened pretty quickly with this Louisville game. And actually, he was talking about sort of how it all played out. And they were supposed to play Louisville Wednesday as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and that was one of the first games announced for Wisconsin this year. I think it was pretty highly anticipated, but that was called off due to a positive test in the Louisville program. And so then Wisconsin apparently got an offer to go to a neutral site, I think Indianapolis, to play UConn, and they were considering that. But Gard decided to go with bringing in Rhode Island because he didn't want the players to travel. He thinks there's higher risk if you're traveling. And ultimately, it worked out well because UConn has now suspended their basketball activities after a positive test. So it sounds like luck has a lot to do with it, but they've had to really strategically sort of set up this season to make sure that they're getting in their games. Because, like you said, in basketball, it is, and other sports as well, but I think maybe compared to football, it is important to have that consistency and get your games in.
Megan Hart, our guest today, talking sports with her. Questions or comments, I hope you'll join in. You're all pretty quiet right now. Give a call. We got open lines at 800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, this whole, I guess we may as well stay on scheduling here a little bit, because the men's and women's hockey teams have also faced the same problems. I think the women are losing the next two series, and the men are losing their next series.
Yeah, the men are, at least as of yesterday, they were planning to try to reschedule that series against, I think it was Michigan State, after a positive test within the Badgers program. And the men are at 5-5, so they've been able to play a handful of games for both teams, though we don't really know the next time we're going to see them again at this point, until that Michigan State series is possibly rescheduled, because their second half schedule isn't out for the new year. And the women, they only were able to play two games. They split a series with Ohio State to open the season, and they had their series canceled last week against Minnesota. They announced yesterday their next two series would also be called off, and that's due to a combination of injuries and coronavirus issues that would leave them with too few players. And so it's really been a challenge, and it's a shame because they came into the season as the number one ranked team. Last year they were defending champions who were not able to try to defend their title when the NCAA tournament was called off due to coronavirus. They're returning a lot of strong players. And so it's challenging because the players really are, they're getting the opportunity to play, but they're really also sacrificing a lot between making the time to do the daily testing, limiting who they're seeing. The women's hockey team, they all had Thanksgiving dinner together. None of them saw their families because they were actually traveling to Ohio State to play that weekend. And so it's got to be really hard. You have to feel for the players when these things happen.
Well, these constant changes, they just have to affect your ability to play well as a team, for sure. Well, let's take a call. Jeff in Superior, we'll give you a chance to chime in. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Well, I was thrilled last hour when you were talking about Paul Hornung, because there aren't many of us, but I'm a Notre Dame grad up here in northern Wisconsin. And, you know, Paul Hornung won the Heisman Trophy when he was at Notre Dame. Well, when I was touring Lambeau Field a few years ago, his Heisman Trophy was on display. And I said to the tour guide, I said, why is the Heisman Trophy on display here when he won it at Notre Dame? And the tour guide said something to me that I've always been telling people, but not a lot of people know this, is that when you win the Heisman Trophy, you get three trophies. One goes to your school, one goes to you, and one goes to your parents. So when Paul Hornung's parents passed away, he told the Packers, well, maybe we should put this on display. And the Packers agreed, so they put it on display.
Well, that is so a cool story.
I did not know that.
Man.
I tell you, I'm kindred spirits with him, too, because I love horse racing. I go to Louisville. I was there Thanksgiving 2 years ago. I toured the barns behind Churchill Downs. I am such a fan of horse racing. And we didn't have the Derby this year. We didn't have the Breeders' Cup. But in January, they're selling tickets to the Pegasus World Cup down at Gulfstream. So I'm planning to go to Miami in January. Fingers crossed.
Jeff, thanks for...
I hope that works out.
Yeah, I do. You know, Jeff mentioned tours. Have you been on the tour, Megan, of Lambeau Field? The official tour?
No, I haven't. I have not done the official tour. I will have to do that when things get back to normal. I actually just moved to Green Bay and started this job in December. So it's about my 1 year anniversary. Yeah. And then, you know, you think that you'll be able to do all these things. And then, of course, the pandemic hit in March. And between reporting, picking up and trying to help with the pandemic coverage and not being able to get out as much as I'd like, I haven't been able to do that yet. But I actually, I did get to last summer. My parents came up and we saw Paul McCartney there. And so I've made a few trips to Lambeau Field, but I haven't actually done the official tour.
The tour is really great. And just for everybody listening, if you haven't done that tour of Lambeau Field, and I'm not even sure now that the tours are on. Maybe they're not. They're probably not even on. But it's a wonderful tour, and it's sort of you start at the top and go to the bottom more or less, and you're down in the locker room area, and then you get to walk out onto the field. And when they have you walk out on the field, they do the music and the crowd noise as you're walking down the hallway, you know, to get out. And it's really a cool thing. But here I'm talking about the tour, and I'm not even sure that they're doing them now because of COVID.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, I know during the news break we heard a bit about the vaccine. Hopefully things get back to normal or some semblance of normal soon, and I'll be able to take advantage of that, because it does sound really cool, and it sounds like you learn a lot. That Heisman Trophy fact is really, I'm gonna tell people that now too. That's really interesting.
Thanks again, Jeff. Appreciate it. One bright spot in sports, I think, is the increase in people playing golf. That's, you know, as a golfer myself, it was one of the nice things I could do with my daughter this summer. We you go and play, or anybody else. I play with a lot of friends too, but you could go and play golf. What have you heard much about the numbers are increasing in golf?
I have actually. I do have a story coming up on that, and it was really interesting. I thought sort of the growth that the game has seen in the last year after sort of having its struggles to recruit new players. I think what I read was across the country, the National Golf Foundation said rounds were up about 10% through October. But the growth here in Wisconsin has exceeded that, actually. I spoke to the head of the Wisconsin PGA, who said that he's heard from most public courses that rounds are up anywhere between 15 and 30%, and some private courses, it's been even higher than that. And actually, speaking of golf over in your area, over in Madison, I spoke to the owner of Vitense Golfland, and he said that the last time he remembers seeing this sort of enthusiasm around golf was actually in the 90s when Tiger Woods was coming on the scene, and everyone was real excited about him and trying to emulate him, a lot of new young golfers, the people taking up the sport. And so I just thought that was a really sort of good illustration, because I remember that was he was a phenomenon when he was getting started. And so it was it's one of the few things that really seems to have had a lot of success this year, and that includes among junior golfers. The Wisconsin PGA said they were able to host about 95% of the junior tournaments they had planned for this year. And of course, they made changes to those to ensure that they were safe. And some of those changes included even capping the number of participants at certain tournaments to allow for social distancing. But despite doing that, they still saw rounds at those junior tournaments up about 8%, because so many other youth sports were canceled this summer. So that is one success story during the pandemic.
Well, it was a lot of fun. It was fun for me to be playing here the end of December, first part of the end of November, first part of December, to be still playing golf in Wisconsin. Their courses are still open for a couple more days, at least here in the Madison area. So that is pretty cool. I, you know, at the beginning I asked you if you ever played lacrosse, but I'm wondering about breakdancing. Are you a breakdancer, Megan?
I am not a breakdancer, but, you know, this is something that I was actually talking to one of my colleagues about on Slack this morning, was the idea of bridge dancing at the Olympics. You know, it's not something I have a lot of knowledge about, and I worked at the Olympics for NBC as a researcher in Rio and Pyeongchang, and in Rio in particular, I covered some sports I wasn't super familiar with. I was the researcher for the pentathlon, for example, and for whitewater canoeing and kayaking, some things I didn't have a lot of expertise, and so I had to learn about those sports. But I was actually, when I was talking to my colleague, I was thinking, gosh, that's got to be a hard sport to be the researcher for, because it must be very nuanced. You have to really have an artistic eye to judge breakdancing. That'll be interesting to see what that looks like.
Yeah, so breakdancing will be an official sport in the 2024 Olympics. And, of course, they're looking to hire to lure a younger audience, although I think it's a pretty good audience for the Olympics whenever they're on. Megan, it's always a fun time when I get to talk to you. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it, and look forward to our next visit.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
It's always a lot of fun when Megan Hart stops by to talk sports, and we do that once a month here on the show, and it's always a good time. Well, coming up tomorrow, we'll talk about wild game cooking and then find out what's going on in the night sky at this time of the year. So I hope you can join us for that starting at 11 tomorrow. But you know what? In the meantime, stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network through the afternoon. I'm Larry Mueller.